It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week. What's going on is we are the greatest automotive podcast in the known world. It's true. We say it every week, and after, you know, if you hear it on the internet, it must be true.
Yes.
This Where is the unknown world is what I want to know.
Oh, I've been
this
there.
Is the known world. Yeah,
I've been to the unknown. Believe me, I grew up in the 60s. There's an unknown. So it's Tuesday, October 20th.
I can't believe you've grown up.
Well, what can I say? I got older. How's that?
Okay,
I don't know if I necessarily grew up.
How about that?
Oh, Brady Wright. Ron Foreman is here. Steve Johann is here. We're surrounded, literally surrounded by police officers. No, by millions of listeners every week. This is the 158th episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We're on iTunes and iHeart Podcasts and Spotify and CastBox, which I still have not looked up. I guess podcast
rock
providers.
Rock the CastBox.
Ooh.
I like it.
An 80s music reference. I like it.
Yes.
Podbay is another one, which I love saying just because I want to open the Podbay door, Hal.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of, Star Trek Voyager. I'm on now season 3. Open up the pod.
You know there's a new Star Bay. Trek? This is Star Trek Discovery.
I'm not paying money to watch anything.
No, it's on cable. You can get it.
Uh-huh.
We've been watching Voyager. Don't go
Voyager.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Extra points if you remember the name of the cultural officer on that thing, the one that ended up shaping off all her hair.
Voyager.
Oh, it wasn't Natasha.
You won't know it.
Okay.
Persis Kambata.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nobody would know. So, hey, we appreciate you liking and following our Facebook page because it's lot more organized than this segment is. Right now, we are at Back to the Blacktop. We're going to get there. Really, we are.
Yes, we are.
Steve has automotive news and information and stuff about carrots. I have no idea what he has about carrots. But we're going to find out. What do you got?
Well, I think that's dangling before our audience, waiting for something to come up. Well, here we go again. More bad press for the electric hybrid Nikola Motors, causing their stock to take a plunge as of Friday, as its CEO inadvertently suggests in an interview that the $2 billion deal with General Motors may not come to pass.
Oh, no.
Do you think that this company is kind of trying to prop things up a little bit here?
They're going
to
get passed, all right.
6 years, nothing out there on the showroom to buy.
They're not getting any props.
No, they're not. They're getting hammered pretty good in the industry news, so maybe rightfully so. Well, remember the song Saved by Zero, speaking of 80s songs?
Saved
by Zero, yes, from the 80s. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you ate one, too.
Yes.
Well, GM is hoping to be saved by zero by converting their Detroit Ham Truck Assembly Center into a facility that is only building electric vehicles. With their new purpose-built factory comes a new name called Factory Zero.
Saved by zero.
Never mind that there's already a zero company out there that builds the electric Broncos.
Well, there's also zero custom motorcycles.
And there's zero custom. Yeah, there's yes, and there was Saved by Zero song. Maybe I'll pull that up in the break and we'll run it in our next segment. And big news for a little known company located in our neck of the woods just set a world land speed record. The company is called SSC, which
That's
was founded in 1998 and originally known as Shelby Supercars Incorporated.
I saw this on Facebook today and I went, how fast?
Yeah, just landed an impressive spot in the Guinness Book of World Records for its Tartura sports car, posting an average speed of 316 miles an hour on a stretch of blacktop just outside of Vegas this last week.
Mm-hmm.
And here are some of the breakdowns. The SSC Tatura is powered by a 5.9-liter twin-turbo V8, producing as much as, get this, 1,750 horsepower.
Yeah, you probably have to.
Using E85 gas alcohol blend.
Of course.
With its carbon fiber body, let's get that right, it weighs just 2,700 pounds, giving it an extremely...
So it's a Volkswagen with a Hemi in it.
Oh, my gosh. That's really what it is. Kit car. The old, remember the fiberglass kit cars you could get for those things? SEC plans to produce just 100 of their cars in the next 5 years, which will be offered in a slightly tamer model as well at around 800 horsepower. The estimated price will be, ding, 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 $400,000 to $500,000 a pop.
Well, that's why they're only making 100 of them. And I have to, every time I hear about one of these cars, I'm fascinated by the fact that we can engineer that stuff. I think that's the coolest thing on the planet. I'm really jazzed that there's even a market for cars that do that kind of stuff. But of course, I have to ask. So you got 100 guys who bought a car for $500,000 that'll do 300 miles an hour, and there's no place they can drive it.
Well, no. Here's another thing. How can they come up with that kind of technology to build something like that?
Yeah.
But they can't get a car to get 40 miles per gallon. There's something wrong with this picture.
No. Well, hold on. Back off. 1986.
Right. Yeah.
I bought a Honda Accord 5-speed hatchback. I filled the tires to the maximum air pressure. I had it fully loaded with my wife, myself, my two sons. We did road trips, and we got 40 miles to the gallon in that thing with a 100-horsepower motor. And we were clipping along at 85 miles an hour in Montana, Wyoming. When we did road trips with that little thing, we got excellent gas mileage.
How much anymore?
We went out to buy a replacement. And I'm like, 32 miles per gallon?
Yes.
And this thing's huge
and weighty.
All the extra
junk they started loading those
things
down.
Oh, my gosh.
That's where they get their tax money on each gallon of gas.
And so I'm like, this idea that they can't come up. No, they did come up. And that was a phenomenal car. And I got to thinking, it was funny, Ron, you sent that. I was laying in bed the other night thinking, you know what? I might want to look around. If I had the room, I'd look around for that thing and buy that, rebuild the engine, and get 40 miles to the gallon again.
What was the year? What
86?
An 86 Accord.
Accord hatchback.
That's the one that's I still have the
speaker cabinet that I put in the back. A couple of Boston Acoustics. That thing rumbles.
That's like getting a car because you have a gear shift knob.
Yeah.
I got a speaker cabinet. I should get a car to put around it.
Well, I bought
40 miles per gallon. That's
nothing
to
sneeze at.
Oh, my God.
Those things are out there now. You can probably get one for about $1,500. It'll have 300,000 miles on it.
Huh? Now, hold it. I sold.
Really?
You know why I sold it?
86? Oh,
now, listen.
Come on.
Listen. Yeah. You know why I sold it? It had 300,000 plus miles on it. It didn't burn a drop of oil. And
you got to put oil.
It needed a new clutch, and we had just had our son, and it was like, I needed to get something bigger. So I went to an Astrovan, which basically, 18 miles max on the highway. But we got all that comfort and made it really nice for our travel trips.
Sure.
But it was still going strong, no oil leaking at all, no problems whatsoever. Nope. 300,000. You don't make cars like that anymore.
Nope.
So I was a little peeved at Honda that they didn't even come out with anything like it. So anyway.
But now they're charging $45,000 for their cars.
Well, my gosh.
Maybe 30 miles per gallon, maybe.
And I was going to cover something under the globalist agenda, but I'm going to hold on that one. Well, under the globalist theme, Volvo Cars has included that distracted driving is such a top priority that they've decided to put new technology called in-camera technology sensors that monitor the driver. And with such technologies, if they feel that the driver is distracted, intoxicated, or may be at risk at like having a cough or a flu, it can potentially slow the car down and actually limit it to not driving. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness.
So they basically made a car that narcs you out.
That's right. So if you.
That's great.
And just add that step.
I'm sorry, Ron.
With the scenario of what we're going on.
Yeah, the car says you can't drive anymore, Ron.
No.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you got a flu. We're going to pull you over and you're going to be house arrested for 15 days.
Boots on.
Oh, like that hasn't happened around here before?
That's a little frightening. Hey, thanks for tuning in spite of all of this. Coming up on the Windshield View, we welcome back a drag racing legend to Horsepower Chrome and Rust. Don Garlitz is next.
Big Daddy.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
This is Mario Andretti, and you are listening to the Horsepower Chrome and Rust. Stay tuned.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower Chrome and Rust is back with the first half of the Windshield View. Don Garlitz back here with at Horsepower Chrome and Rust. Welcome, Don.
Glad to be here.
Well, I tell you, you know, once you say Big Daddy Don Garlitz, after that, I mean, you know, the terms like drag racing legend and all that kind of stuff, it kind of pales. I mean, your career has been just mind-blowing, and we're not going to go through all of this stuff, but practically every aspect of drag racing, it has got your fingerprints and your signature all over it, doesn't it?
Well, it's because I was there in the very beginning. Me and the 18 guys went up to Zephyr Hills in 1950 and got the city fathers to let us use the old runway up there.
Yeah.
No trophies, no clocks, nothing. And I've been there ever since.
You know, I have to tell you this personal story, and I don't remember if, the last time you were on, I may have said this, but I can't remember for sure, so if I'm repeating myself, forgive me. But I was born in 1950, so when I was, you know, a kid, drag racing was the thing. I mean, it was everything as far as we were concerned. And I saw you race out at Seattle Pacific Raceways, which used to be Kent Pacific Raceways. I did the nationals and stuff and the events up there, and I cannot tell you how that affected me, other than, oh my God, how does this guy go that fast? But, you know, everybody that I knew in the 50s and 60s, people that were growing up with cars, I mean, that was the thing. And I'm not ashamed to say I'm fully committed to the fact that you probably were responsible for at least part of my interest in cars. And that's been 55 years now.
Well, I've affected a lot of young men that way and a few young women but you know, mostly the young guys, they saw what I was doing, and drag racing was different back then.
Yeah,
anybody could do it that wanted to. It didn't take a ton of money, and that's why we liked it, because we got our parts from the speed shops and junkyards. And my first championship car cost less than $1,000 to build.
That's awesome.
I love that.
Now $1,000 doesn't even buy the fuel for the run.
No kidding. Well, or a wheel. I mean, it's amazing.
A wheel,
$6,000.
Yeah, it's just crazy. But that's what it takes to be competitive these days. I mean, like you said, you know, you started off pretty organic, And now, I mean, everything, it's massive engineering and huge funding, and it's not for sissies these days. You really got to have some expertise in engineering and all kinds of stuff to make it work. It's practically, well, it almost is rocket science.
Oh, it is. It is. We're using every bit of the technology that's available on this planet to make them go as fast as we can. And they would actually go faster, you know, if NHRA didn't have a few rules. But thank God they do have some, because they could make them go so fast they could hurt the drivers, you know, when they accelerate. They would actually accelerate faster than the driver would be capable of staying conscious and controlling the vehicle.
Yeah.
Well, that brings up, you know, you said sissies. It's never been a sissy sport. I mean, it was through some big, massive accidents that you went through as a racer that you changed the whole industry by putting the engine in the back, isn't it?
So I definitely made it safer. You know, there were around 6 people killed in those cars a couple of years leading up to that accident in Long Beach, and they haven't killed 6 since in the last 50 years.
Yeah.
So that speaks highly, especially considering how much the speeds increased. They only going 228 to 240 miles an hour back then, and look at them now.
That's amazing.
No kidding. And I got to say, I think there's two probably landmark changes in the sport that made a difference. One of them, of course, was putting the engines in the back, and the other one was changing the distance from 1320 down to 1,000 feet. You know, that whole change resulted from and with a whole bunch of different engineering stuff, because that wasn't part of, and you're gonna correct me, wasn't part of the deal with the change that they didn't think the cars could stop once they made the run?
Well, yeah, there were tracks that at 1,320 feet, they didn't have enough stopping room. So the fact of the matter is, if you give the car another 320 feet of safety area to stop, which that's what they did when they cut them back to 1,000 feet, this 320 feet, you can do a lot as a driver in that length of time. So it was a big safety move, no question about it.
And that came about, this is Ron Foreman, how you doing? That came about due to an accident you had with your foot in one of your swamp rats, is that right?
I lost part of my right foot, yeah, half of it.
And you're okay, everything's fine, you're still kicking, I guess.
Well, yeah, I'm still kicking. I mean, my balance is a little bad now, you know, but that's all right. I can live with that.
So how did the name Swamp Rat come about for your line of dragsters?
Well, that came about in 1960, early in 60. Seto Pastorian, a fierce competitor of mine from Detroit, God rest his soul, he's gone now, put an ad in Drag News, a half a page, and it said, "It's no wonder they call you the Swamp Rat." and then he went on to elaborate on why they called me a Swamp Rat and why some of my times were phony and on. And it was to get up, build animosity so that the tracks would hire him. I was getting all these match races, and he wasn't getting any calls. So that put him on the register. Then as soon as they did that, they started calling him.
Oh.
But then God bless him, he had a real bad accident at Detroit later that summer of 60, and he never raced again.
Peace be with his family, for sure.
Well, you know, that's funny that you said that, Don, because that was the showmanship. The self-promotion was part of the whole early on of drag racing, wasn't it?
You had to do it. I mean, that's what it took. The Swamp Rat was promotion. And I got mad about it, and a friend of mine that was in promotion, no, he says, "That's great. Let's paint
it." Oh, absolutely.
Swamp Rat. I'll have my artist draw one up, and that's the little swampy you see with the flag that I have on everything. And we put Swamp Rat right on the car.
Right
and,
on.
It's been there ever since. It's a registered trademark for me.
Sure. Well, and I mean, let's face it, the whole idea of drag racing is a race. It is a competition, and if you're going to have people watch, you know, having some friendly or manufactured or real animosity, that sells tickets. That puts butts in the seats. I mean, it's the nature of competition and marketing to be hand-in-hand in a deal like that. I mean, look at Shirley Muldowney. You know, she was a heck of a driver, but they dressed her up in hot pants and stuck her out there, and it sold more tickets.
She was a prodigy at Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Oh,
you got her started.
I when it was so funny, you know, when I signed her license at Cayuga, it was an English town like the movie.
Yeah.
Then I got Coletta and I got Ivo to sign it because it took three.
Right, right.
What I saw was a good marketing feature here, a guy versus a woman in match racing, and that would really bring the crowd in, and boy, did it ever.
Oh, yeah.
Right on.
But I never really thought she'd be so fast.
She ended up being a pretty darn good driver, didn't she?
Oh, man, she didn't take prisoners.
That's awesome.
Well, and that's the thing, and there was probably a little bit of rivalry, definitely, but off track, how did you all, you know, including her, how did you all get along? Was there some animosity enough where you just didn't want to be with each other, or was it kind of like a, hey, once you're on the track, it's all hands out, you're going down, but once you're off and you're not racing, was it a good old boy and girls club where people just say, hey, we're a small group, let's support each other?
No, it wasn't like wrestling. No, we was really at each other's throats. I mean, we didn't stay in the same hotels or nothing.
Wow.
It's all different now, you know. We're friends now.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, a little bit of trivia. We just purchased her helmet collection for the museum. She had every helmet that she'd ever worn from the beginning.
She never
got rid of any of them.
That is awesome.
Our collection.
Pretty cool.
That includes the two helmets that were one in the fire at 42 that nearly burned her to death.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That she nearly got killed in Montreal.
Right on. Well, hang on, Don. We're going to be back. We got the second segment coming up. Don Garlitz is with us on Horsepower Chrome and Rust. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You just might love the Rad Bastards. We're a family-oriented, nonprofit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough. Real steel and iron, old school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other build, and cruise like crazy, because that's what car clubs are supposed to do. The Rad Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Join us at cruise-ins all over the Puget Sound and on the Rad Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Yes, we are, and we're back with the second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower Chrome and Russ. And we are back with, speaking of Vehicle City, a very, very famous and well-known drag racer by the name of Don Garlitz. And we had just left off on the other side of the break about Shirley Mondowney's helmet collection being introduced into your museum. Why don't you explain how that happened and a little bit about the museum, because, Don, you've got a phenomenal museum that anybody who's down there needs to go see.
Yeah, well, we're just celebrating right now, this month, end of this month will be 44 years since we incorporated this nonprofit organization. And we got started when you could get these artifacts. There were a lot of them around. They were cheap, and you couldn't do that today. Some of this stuff is priceless. But the helmet, we also have Shirley Muldowney cars. You know, I just told you we got her complete helmet collection.
Right.
She never sold a helmet. She got every helmet from the first ride down the drag strip to the last ride, and we got them. And I have her last ride car, too. When she stepped out of her car in 2003 at Pomona, the museum owned her car, the Top Fuel Dragster. We have that.
That's
we
great.
We have the car that she made the movie in, the Heart Like a Wheel. We have that.
Yeah.
I picked that up off the lot at 20th Century. I have the funny car that she was nearly burned to death in. I have that one, too. And I have the car that I took a ride in that went 289 miles an hour, faster than she'd ever been in the car. And she let me drive it one time, and I drove it faster than she did. And boy, did she get hot over that.
Yeah. I bet. See, now that right there is
went 290.
That right there is probably one of the reasons why you guys didn't all stay in the same hotels.
Yeah, well, we didn't get along.
Oh, sure. Man.
Well, you know.
Back in the competitive days.
You bet.
It was tough. I mean, it was a tough deal.
You know, it is. It's your bread and butter. You're making a living off of this, and it's like my son when he was wrestling. He didn't want to be around the other guy that he was wrestling. That was, you know, either you win or you lose, and then you didn't want to hang out because you just lost or you just won, and you're highly competitive. I mean, I get it.
Hey, Don, I got a question I want to ask you. I didn't tell you ahead of time I was going to ask, but I'm kind of curious about this. Maybe you got an answer. One of the things that's happening now in the sport these days, they're talking about 350 miles an hour as being some kind of, like, that's the goal. Can you do that in 1,000 feet? I'm sure the technology exists, but I've heard that it may be a realistic limit of top end without, you know, changing the rules of the sport. Is there an engineering / power to weight ratio reason behind that, or is it just whatever you think you can do?
It's got to do with they can make the power. It's got to do, can the track hold the tire?
Yeah.
And because of that, speed is dangerous, especially on trying to stop these vehicles. NHRA has been limiting the amount of spray that they put down on the track, and they've been cutting it back this last year. So I don't think that we're going to reach 350 miles an hour because the NHRA doesn't want them to do that. If they just relax a couple of the rules, they'd go 350 right away. But I tell you that I think that's a little dangerous because to reach 350, they've got to accelerate at a higher gravity.
Yeah.
And the gravity they accelerate now at the start is hard on the drivers. Especially
yeah.
The older drivers.
So it's really, it's
because
not so.
The really old ones driving.
Well, it's not so much the speed, it's the quickness. I mean, certainly there's vehicles that go faster, but they got a longer run up time. And you could put them on an airstrip someplace right. And, you know, hit the speed, but not in that short a distance. And that's, you know, that's the G force thing you're talking about, right?
Right. That's what will hurt you. When
yep.
I drove, and I didn't drive anymore after 2003, and this was the reason. Just off the starting line, everything was a little blurry.
Well, yeah.
I got hit with that 8G.
Yeah.
And at my age, that was making me a little woozy. And it cleared right up. But I talked to my doctor about it, and he said, I wouldn't be doing that anymore if I were you because that's hard on your brain.
Yeah, well, and your heart. I mean, I'm sure there's all kinds of things that could
so
happen.
So when you're saying, like, your brain, it's almost like putting it into a concussive kind of a...
A vice.
Yeah, like a vice. You're just you're squeezing down, aren't you?
It's like taking a punch.
It's like taking a punch, yes.
It's different. You know, if you work your way up to it gradually, that's one thing. But you're doing it in like half a second. You're standing there, and then all of a sudden you're under 8 times your body weight. And that is an incredible stress. I can't even imagine it.
Oh, yeah. These cars out accelerate the rockets at the Cape off the side.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and do these guys use oxygen when they're anything like that to breathe, or are they just straight breathing?
They use oxygen before they make the run. They get all pumped up on the oxygen just
right.
for the 3.5 seconds.
Wow.
They got plenty of oxygen in their system when they get into the cars.
Because, you know, a jet pilot, they've got, they're fully masked up, and they've got the feeder there to give them the oxygen if they pass out, so they don't.
They got big straps on their legs and all that tighten up to keep the blood from all flowing down into their legs.
Sure. Well, and even at that, the fighters, the fighter jets, they don't accelerate that fast. They're already going pretty fast when they hit the afterburners.
Right.
It's not the same thing at all.
No.
Exactly right. It's that move. You move to 100 miles an hour in less than a second.
Yep.
Jeez.
That's the hard part.
Yeah.
That's what they got to be careful of, because there's going to be a point where it even knocks the young drivers unconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah, the blood flows out of your head right down your toes.
That's another thing. People don't realize, I think car people probably do, but, you know, to put that kind of strain on your body, there's no such thing as an out-of-shape drag racer. These guys work out hard to maintain muscle tone for that kind of thing, because you literally knock yourself unconscious, and there's no coming back. You got, you know, 2 seconds, and you're dead.
Well, what you got to understand, when 8 Gs, what that means,
yeah,
is that everything in your body weighs 8 times its normal weight, and your liver is a great big organ, and so all of a sudden it's 8 times its normal weight, and it slaps itself back against the rib cage.
Yep.
It's not good for you.
No.
That's an
understatement.
You're explaining something I didn't really understand, but now I'm like totally picturing that, because, you know, you're in a roller coaster and you get some kind of that, sometimes that G-force, and it just works, just slams you back into the rig, but you're not trying to do anything. Does your body, your motor skills slow down as well? Is it harder for you with the reaction time? Is that?
Well, your reaction is fine, because when you step on it, nothing has happened yet, so that's your reaction time. But it's that initial 25 to 50 feet off the starting line where you just almost get knocked out.
Wow.
Well, all I can say is, for years, when I was on the radio, we used to do coverage of the local airfares, and occasionally they would take the press people up for flights in, you know, some of the trainers and stuff. And I flew in a jet trainer with, you know, a pilot and everything, and he lit it up about 3 Gs for me after asking me if I thought I could take it. And I said, well, you know, worst thing is going to happen is I'll pass out. He said, but you're not going anyplace. He's driving, so I'm okay. And 3 Gs was just plenty. Thank you very much. I cannot imagine
8 Gs.
I can't even begin. I mean,
wow.
You know, intellectually okay, but no.
You know, I was a Navy recruiter volunteer for 30 years.
There you go.
I got to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I got to fly an A-7 down in Avon Park. It had a 2-seater. And we went down to Avon Park and cleared 100 square miles of airspace. And they gave me the controls. And I dove it down 740 knots and then pulled it out abruptly. And I took about 7 Gs.
Yeah.
And pulled out of that dive. And I'm going to tell you what. My back hurt for a week.
Oh, I'm sure of it. Your feet were bigger after that too, weren't they?
these guys that do that kind of stuff, the guy that flew that plane, you know, the pilot, he was really in good shape.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you have to be.
Hey Don, can you tell us a little bit about the electric car you drag raced? Was that the Swamp Rat 38? And then why did they name it Swamp Rat if it's an electric car?
So that's the newest one, 38. 37 set the first record, and 38 raised the record to 189. And then a guy named Huff recently went, from your part of the country, Spokane, I think, went to 201. So he was the first guy over 200. I didn't get that. But
nope.
I'm still working on it.
I'll bet you are.
Record before it's over.
That's awesome.
COVID-19 messed me all up, because I couldn't get to the tracks. I couldn't get my crew out. A lot of them were locked down, and it just messed out of everything.
Yeah, this year has been just one for the books. I mean, nothing got done this year.
No.
Car shows are nil, and we're trying to get cruises and rolling rallies going, but it's been really tough because people want to stay distancing and being careful, so we understand that, but we still miss our cars and getting out there and having fun with them.
Hey, Don, did you see this story that was, I think it was today or yesterday on Facebook, about the guys from SSC, Shelby the Shelby guys.
Well, they're Super Shelby Incorporated.
Super Shelby, that's what it is. They did a run on asphalt down in Vegas and hit 316, I think Steve said earlier. Did you happen to see that story?
No.
Yeah. Apparently, I mean, it wasn't a drag race. It was a top-end run, and so they had plenty of time to run it up.
How long? What, they have a big, long track?
Yeah, they closed off some road, flat asphalt out there in the high desert. And, they apparently took it up to 316-something.
They're going to limit their production is going to be 100 cars, and it's a supercar.
It's 1,000 horsepower.
Yeah, 1,700 horsepower.
17, sorry. Yeah.
316 miles an hour.
Yep. Yeah. Story broke today.
That's with the alcohol and gas, right?
I'll
mix.
Look online and get that.
Yeah. It's called
They were using race fuel.
They were using E85. Pump gas. E85 pump gas.
Yeah. Well, that's not exactly pump gas.
Well, that's no. That's what you buy in.
Well, you mentioned they had mixed with the alcohol or something.
Well, E85 is alcohol based gasoline.
Said they did it on
E85? Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
Yeah, look that one up. Oh, that's great. We brought you a new story. I like that.
Well, not only that, they are, I guess they're up in our neck of the woods here in the Seattle area, so I'm going to look them up and bring them on the show. But
cool.
It just goes to show. It goes to show that there's people out there still pushing the boundaries of what vehicles can do, and it's all based in technology and design. I mean, the design of a car can make all the difference in the world, can it, for air slip and that type of thing.
Don?
Yep. I love it.
It's an expensive hobby.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Right, exactly.
So now, Don, is your museum open currently? And if so, is it on a limited basis?
No, we're fine. Because we're so big, we would never reach 50% capacity in there.
Oh, perfect.
So fine. There's nobody turned away. And we were only closed for 2 months when the governor made us close.
Right.
Our daily operation now, we have about the same amount of spectators we were getting this time last year.
Oh, excellent.
We're awesome. Okay. And we're thankful to God for that.
Yes, indeed. We are too. And, we haven't stopped producing our show for the whole time. And we get together and
that's right.
Do our thing. And so, Don, one of the things I was wondering is, in your museum, you've been doing it for 44 years, and you've acquired a lot of these cars and memorabilia. Do you go out and purchase it yourself, or has there any of it been like the family of a racer who's passed away? Do they call you up and say, Don, would you like it? How do you get a hold of these historical machines that you carry in there?
Okay, we're always on the lookout for historical cars. And I have went and got some of them. It's taken me 5 and 6 years to acquire them from the family. And, I mean, I'm on a motorcycle right now called Big Bertha. Was the killer here in Florida back in the 50s. And the family has that motorcycle sitting on the coffee table in the living room.
I love it.
Down in St. Petersburg. And I'm just trying to get them to put it in the museum where 50, 60,000 people a year can look at it and enjoy it. But that's just one of the many. I've bought them. I've had them given to us. We have them on loan. We've went to garages and got them in all pieces and have to restore them. We're on the process of restoring the Diamond Dave's little short top fuel dragster.
Oh, yeah.
One of the projects we're on right now.
Nice.
And everything's ongoing. It's always changing. We're always adding new stuff. We just added a new building not too long ago, another 7,500 square feet. So we're alive and well down here.
Well, Don, this has been wonderful having you on. We have run out of time. I mean, it's like running a quarter mile in 25 minutes, but it just goes by so fast. But, Don, where can people find your museum?
We're on Interstate 75, exit 341. We're right on the interstate, real easy to find. It's about 80 miles north of Tampa, 40 miles south of Gainesville. And we're open all year long, except except for Christmas and Thanksgiving. We're closed.
Perfect.
Super.
Well, thanks so much. All right, Don, thanks for being on with us. And we got a lot more coming on the other side.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. I realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Hey guys, this is Carl with Garrett's Rod Shop on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And these guys are great, so listen up.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, Forrest Animal. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
It's time for Car Confidential, and we're back with another story, Fenders, Fins, and Friends. This week, what's up, Brady?
Oh, well, I think that because last week we talked about something completely different, we're going to go back to actual cars this week. Lance writes about a lot of different stuff.
Wasn't it like dirty?
It was dirty story. Dirty, a dirty story. But this week, we're talking about Lincolns, and not the Hot Rod Lincoln, because we already did that story, and that's a darn good one. This one is called Leaving the Lincoln. I hope it doesn't end up being about the tunnel. We're going to find out. Tunnel? A good friend called a few days... Yeah, the Lincoln Tunnel. You know, Lincoln Tunnel. All right, never mind.
Nope.
Good friend called a few days ago to tell me he is selling his beautiful old Lincoln and getting out of the car hobby. I'm still in shock. He, like most of my close friends, has been a car guy for many decades. Some of us car guys, yes, ladies, this includes you too, popped out of the womb with a wrench in one hand and a copy of Rod and Custom magazine in the other. As toddlers, we played with toy cars, and as we grew older, we built model cars. Afternoons were spent learning to identify the make and model of the cars driving through the neighborhood. My dad and I used to play that game. What's that? I have no idea. Oh, it's a 56 Buick. Okay. At the golden age of 16, we got our driver's licenses, and soon after, used money saved to buy our first cars. For me, it was a 1948 Chevrolet that was purchased with the $125 earned delivering newspapers, mowing lawns, and babysitting. The love of old cars is kind of in our DNA. Car guys spent their high school days drawing pictures of cars in class, repairing grills and other car parts in metal shop, and bragging about their cars at the car guy table in the school lunchroom. Yes, all of that. And at the end of the school day, we headed straight for the local drive-in show to show off the latest alterations to our cars. Look, those tires and wheels used to belong to Frank. And admire what our friends had recently done to their cars. Where'd you get that big dent? The group's love of automobiles continued to grow over the years despite life's other obligations taking on more importance for many years. College, military, jobs, marriage, and children all took our available time and money. Some of the luckier guys were able to still have a hot rod, a custom, or a classic in the garage that they could work on or tinker with as time and finances allowed, many of us had to let our car passion go dormant as we trudged or sailed through our middle years. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what our circumstances were, we still had embers burning for old cars. So for many of us, the passion may be based on a combination of the three C's, creation, curves, and control. We also have always loved taking an automobile and creating something we think is better than it was before we started. Now, most cars from the 1940s through the 60s consist of a lot of curves. Mm-hmm. My wife thinks that some of the appeal is that these cars have curves that remind us of beautiful bodies, be they lean and muscled athlete, like a European sports car, or a voluptuous and Rubenesque starlet, like a 1950s American sedan. The control aspect comes in when we buy a car, restore or alter it, and then have the pleasure of driving it. Many guys, when asked to share their favorite moment in life, will tell you a story in which their car played a starring role, or at least a supporting role.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the story took place on a beautiful summer afternoon while driving a restored Corvair convertible on a deserted country road. The experience was the definition of bliss. Now, normally I love Lance's stories.
Right.
This one I'm not crazy about because he leads me into this particular paragraph.
Uh-oh.
The experience was the definition of bliss. And then the creep doesn't tell us what the experience was.
Oh, yes.
I'm getting him for this.
Yes.
So it is with sadness, he says, that I accept my friend's decision to sell his Lincoln and leave the hobby. But it makes as much sense to me as if he said he was no longer going to eat chocolate or play with puppies. I mean, how is that possible? How can my friend leave his Lincoln? My car guy DNA just does not understand.
I used to cruise with my friend in the 1962 Dodge Lancer.
Ooh, okay.
It's one of the most ugliest cars that were on the road at
the
time.
Yeah,
like the Valiant.
Yes.
And not like the Dart, though.
No. It's in between ugly and uglier.
Right.
The Lancer was the Plymouth Volare of the 60s. It was just about that.
It had
bad.
The slant six in it.
Yeah,
it was the first year they come out with an alternator versus a generator, so that had that thing going for it. So we cruised the Commerce there in Longview, Kelso, and we got a great idea that we'd split the manifold, actually the exhaust pipe, put dual exhausts on it. And we
dual exhaust on a slant six.
Dual exhaust on a slant six.
I like this
and,
already.
The people that we knew, you know, we cruised, we knew each other, and they saw the dual exhaust, and they heard it, and they go, they did the double check. You actually did something with that ugly car. It was so much fun.
Yeah, but, you know, back in the day, when I was in high school, it was what I had and whatever my friends had. I happened to have a couple friends that ended up having muscle cars, and actually I knew a lot of people in the neighborhood, in the surround, you know, that I would hang out with that had the muscle cars.
Sure.
Or a car that may not have been, but became a muscle car. And so there was a lot of that in my little town, but I only had that little 1800, Mazda 1800 four-door. It was a great little car for what it was. I had the best tunes out of everybody.
Sure.
I put my money into the tunes. And I got the best gas mileage, too. I got definitely high 30s out there on the freeway. But it was interesting because I did try out, I think it was probably a 68 or 69 Roadrunner.
Ooh.
Down the street that had been parked there for quite some time. And I knew the guy, or I knew I had heard it every night going back and forth. And I went down there, and he wanted $2,500 for it. And I took it out one night, and I'm like, oh, man, this might be nice. Because my buddy had a Chevelle, and we'd been driving around that. And for some reason, when I went into third, it kind of didn't feel right. It felt like it kind of went really high versus going lower. And I thought, that just doesn't feel right to me. So we brought it back. And besides, it was not power steering, so it was like a beast to turn.
Armstrong.
So we came back, parked it, and it was like a rainy kind of stormy night. And my buddies, we were out driving. He says, hey, Steve, what did you think about that? You thinking of buying it? I don't know. It doesn't seem like it drove as well as I thought it would. And he goes, well, why don't you check out mine? So we swapped seats, and I took off and brum, brum, and just lit the tires, even though I didn't lit the tires, but I just started getting squirrely, going all over the road. And he's like hanging on, And then I hit the third, and I straighten it right out. And I go, I had you going there, didn't I? And he's like, that's enough, Steve. That's enough. And I go, I have a stick shift. I know how to drive a stick shift. But it was like night and day. That Chevelle and that Roadrunner, as much as I like the looks of the Roadrunner, it was a beast to drive compared to the Chevelle, which had the power steering,
sure.
It had the power brakes, it had the disc brakes. Light years ahead, hate to say it, but Chevy was definitely light years ahead of both Ford and Dodge when it came to that era.
At the time.
At the time.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, everybody had something that was kind of their come-to-it moment, you know?
Yes, yes.
I mean, I had my share of interesting cars and stuff that I worked on, and I think everybody did it. It's part of, I think, what makes us all car guys is something about the four wheels and you sitting in between them. It kind of pushes a switch that you can't shut off.
Well, and even more so maybe because back in our day, there wasn't any video games. There wasn't any VCRs. We had three channels and maybe a couple local ones. And we spent all of our time building models, playing with all the cars
it
and doing all that.
It was a different, much less complicated world.
Yep,
for
and
sure.
So when we got our license at 16, it was like that was our license of freedom.
That was freedom, sure.
Oh,
sure.
My gosh.
I actually, you can, in Washington and several other states, you could get a learner's permit for the 6 months, you're 15 and a half.
Yep.
And you could practice then with a licensed driver who had to be over 21.
Still that.
And you then got the test, you know, when you were 16. Well, at 15 and a half, in this state, you had to drive a car with another driver, but you could drive a scooter or a motorcycle by yourself.
Oh, wow.
And coincidentally, that's what I had.
Yep.
So I have the distinction of driving fully alone when I was 15 and a half.
Very cool.
My own vehicle, and getting my first ticket before I ever turned old enough to have a driver's license.
Brady.
Yes, it's true.
The Nathan Lipinski weekly trivia question is next. Put it in park, stick around.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand.
Oh, it's him again, the El Camino man. I'm going to get you a t-shirt that says El Camino man.
I'll design it.
You would. Welcome back to Around the Wheel. This is where we talk about all the upcoming events in the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again to stump Nathan Lipinski. Well, it's not really Nathan. It's anybody. We actually had a winner last week. This is really cool. I thought this was going to be a tough question. I was trying to be sneaky with it. But no! No! It turns out that Don Fristo, our very good friend and neighbor and my former schoolmate from elementary school who lives in Port Townsend, Washington, got the correct answer. Who introduced the standard turn signals on cars, and what year did that happen? And Don knew. He knew. What the heck year was it? Wait a minute. I got to find this thing. I had it here earlier.
Did it have blinker fluid to it?
No, he didn't. He didn't have any blinker fluid. I asked him if
good
he had
one.
It. Everybody should have it. It was Buick, and they did it in 1939. So Don is going to get his name on the thing with the horsepower, the chrome and rust, barn fine dust. And next week, we got an even better question. What is that question you're asking me? You probably want to know. Well, here it is. This is going to take a little Google work here. What are the first successful automobile and the first production automobile, not necessarily the same, have in common?
Okay, repeat that again.
What do the first successful automobile and the first production automobile have in common?
Oh.
If you know, you go to our Facebook page. You can type in an answer there. You can send us an email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You, too, could win the coveted certificate of genuine horsepower, chrome, and rust, barn fine dust with your name handsomely engraved. Well, maybe not handsomely, but engraved in any case. So you do that, and you will be the ultimate cool. And, hey, we talk about events coming up. We actually have our very first event. This is going to be terminally cool. Get this.
Creepy.
Halloween. It's creepy, yeah. Halloween is coming up. Strangely enough, it is October 31st. Oddly.
On a Saturday.
It's a Saturday, and it's a full moon, and it's a blue moon, and we decided, you know what? We're going to have a cruise. It's not a car show. It's a cruise.
Blue moon.
And it's going to be up and down the Pacific Northwest. Actually, it's going to be up and down Highway 9, which is a great place.
No,
you are in the Seattle, Tacoma, Everett, Arlington, Burlington, general area around the Puget Sound, or if you're not and you want to come over for a cruise, it is going to be great. October 31st, 2020, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., we will meet at the Dairy Queen near Thrasher's Corner, and all of this information is on our website. It's on our Facebook page, and if you want directions, if you want maps and turn-by-turn things, that's all going to be on the Facebook page by later tonight. So do not miss. We're going to drive up Highway 9, and we're going to end up at a great location. Drager's International Classic Sales is in Burlington. We had Jerry Drager on the show a week or so ago. It was a magnificent, and I put up some video.
I saw your videos.
I went up there.
Really
Man,
cool,
I am
Brady.
Telling you,
very
that
nice.
Place is just awesome. It is a destination location, and by the time we get there, Jerry's going to have two turntables on the floor with cars spinning around. He's got one that spins around
for
about
Brady,
20 minutes.
Well, Brady, we have to mention that we're going to have a drawing. So it's
yes,
going to be...
there is a 50-50 drawing.
Yes.
So here's the deal. The tickets are going to be $5 a ticket or 5 for 20. We're going to have a 50-50 when we get there. So at 3 o'clock, we'll do the 50-50 drawing at Drager's. And you can join us at any number of a bunch of different locations.
Yep.
We're going to have stops as we go. All of that is on the Facebook page. So go
Indeed.
To our Horsepower Chrome and Rust Facebook page. You'll get all the information about the cruise. It is the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Halloween Creepy Cruise. October 31st, 10 a.m. to 3. What do you got?
Decorate your car.
Oh,
decorate
yeah.
your costumes.
That's right.
Vampires, skeletons, zombies.
Sure, you could be a serial killer.
Put some
killer.
Lights on it, decorate yourself.
You could decorate
and
your car.
Make your car as creepy as well.
You could make your car.
And it doesn't matter what kind of car it is, you are invited.
That's right. This isn't just for hot rods, it's for any kind of car. Check the website out and you will be able to join us. We reach over 1 million car enthusiasts every week. You know we're on podcasts, we're no on Podomatic, we're on Spotify, iTunes, and iHeart, and a bunch of other places. Thanks to Don Garlitz for joining us
Excellent.
Again. And for Ron Foreman and Steve Johann, I'm still Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor. Cruise on by next week. We got another Horsepower Chrome and Rust coming at you.